Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This week in League, Andrew Fifita is being hunted by the Dragons after he demonstrates an unprecedented ability to choke.
Queensland isolation NRL 2021 breaks a record. For the first time, players have had more concussions in a season than their wives.
Parramatta Eels cling on to their grand final dreams as the top four sides lift off like a C-130 in Kabul.
And we look ahead to all the action for round 23 of the 2021 NRL season.
All that and more this week in League. Welcome to episode 426 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm Glenn.
How you going, fellas?
Fucking great, mate. Thanks for asking.
You sound angry, Glennie.
No, I don't. I sound chipper, which is more than I can say for you, pair.
Isn't it funny when the camera starts rolling, when the tape starts rolling? You're the one that sounds like you're fucked off.
Yeah, because I've spent 6 minutes talking to you cunts. See, and you guys have pepped up.
Exactly. See, you're a good influence.
Yeah, aren't I?
The universe loves balance.
You are positivity leeches is what you guys are.
Well, I was going to give you credit for being great at fucking receiving offloads. But...
Yeah, I prefer happiness vampire, but, you know, you do you. Call it what you will. No, I had to go and fucking... throw down, you know, change the relationship dynamic with my mother.
Oof.
So, yes, my sainted mother comes up to babysit on Wednesday when we do the show and is unfortunately deaf as fuck and has gone and gotten herself some hearing aids.
Right.
Which is great.
So it's taken some of your advantage away because you used to talk a lot of shit when she was sitting next to you that she couldn't hear.
No, it was never that bad. But through the wonders of modern technology, you know, hearing aids are no longer a massive surgical endeavor. They're relatively affordable, but you've got to charge them every night like your iPhone. So she's just charged them, put them on the bench, and so now can't hear shit again. And she's in with the young fella, finished the bedtime story, and they've got fucking YouTube on at volume level 1 million. And she's screaming at him because she can't hear anything about what they're watching. So I had to go in and say, turn your fucking phone off. The circle is complete.
How good.
Now you are the adult.
And what's the reason for your scowl? Gillis, you fucking cranky cunt.
Oh, fucking, where do you want me to start? Like, literally, as I said to you before the show, literally... outside of you two and the Manly Sea Eagles, fucking pick one. It could be anything.
Wheel of fortune.
Yeah, that's it. Happy to say, my eldest son put a smile on your face at my expense, as usual.
Yeah, it's true.
Off
it's
mic, true. As he was bringing my herbal tea in.
Yeah. Now I'm thinking. Yeah. Well, what we're speaking about, people who need to be fucking punched in the throat.
Hey, he was on your side.
That was a bad segue. I should have said it before you shifted it off yourself. And I was actually calling back to you know all of the aggravations in my life at the moment. But poor old Andrew Fifita, after the game at Ready on Sunday, was left in an induced coma. With a fractured larynx, and he's since undergone surgery. He's expected to make a full recovery, but how fucking hardcore! He's in the ICU in the short term. Then he'll recover. He finishes recovery in hospital, and I think at this stage, the match review committee have judged that there was no foul play. They thought it may have been an illegal act by a Knights player, but they couldn't see it. And I remember when, do you remember the game when it happened, how he sort of stayed down just before half time?
Yeah.
And even the commentators, was Brandy on who was commentating? And he was even saying, making, you know, jokes like, oh, he's just, you know, he's fucking laying down to have a rest, or, you know, he's gassed sort of thing. Yeah, needs and then in hindsight, you're just like, what the fuck? I mean, I saw Sharks fans on Twitter at the time as well going, oh, fuck, this fat cunt, like, he's just robbed us of all the momentum on that last, yeah, you know, that last set before the halftime break. And after halftime, he left the field and was sitting on the bench. And then after full-time, he had started having difficulty breathing. And to the point where he became quite distressed inside the dressing sheds with the rest of the players and the staff. So they took him by paramedics out of the sheds onto the playing field, and they laid him down to treat him. And apparently it was said that his screams reverberated around the venue and could be heard by teammates inside the sheds. The stadium staff had to shut the doors to stop people going outside to check on the situation. And they treated him for 45 minutes there at the stadium, and his airway was reportedly closing. So they made the decision to rush him to the hospital, and where he received the emergency treatment.
I can't fucking believe I wasn't there.
That is a fucking insane on-field injury, though, right?
Do you know what? But as far away as I was, that's my bucket list has the line item to give someone the Bic Pen tracheotomy. And that's as fucking close as I've been.
It's true. It's
Jesus
true.
Christ.
You could have done it if you were there, if you enjoyed a fucking schnitty on the deck there at Dolphins Leagues Club.
Wipe the gravy off my knife and make the incision.
Yeah.
Grab
the straw from your fucking shandy and...
Fucking look out, everyone! MacGyver's here.
I mean, it's great to hear that he's going to make a full recovery, because that is like one of just the most random, surprising, and weird. Like,
have you ever copped a knock like in the throat, like whether jiu-jitsu or whatever? I copped a fend.
No, never.
When I was at school, I copped a fend in the throat, and fuck me, I thought I was going to die.
Yeah,
like. Yeah. Holy shit, it scared the hell out of me. And let alone having a fractured larynx.
Yeah.
This is the thing. I was chatting with somebody in medicine the other day, and this came up. And they were saying that it's...
Mate, your drug dealer's not somebody in medicine, okay?
That would be someone in pharmaceuticals.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Person. My bad.
Different person.
Although there are people out there that just say, I need my medicine. I just need to get me my medicine. but can be one of those injuries where it, again, yeah, it might have happened on the field, and obviously it's been damaged. Mm. But think about how many times you move and rotate your neck, especially in a game of football.
Mm.
Yeah, well, you mean looking side, you know, left and right.
That's it. You're constantly checking, you know, am I on side, am I this and that. You know, you're in the sheds after, you swivel to see everybody. Imagine doing that with an arm that was broken or something, or just moving the general body part with it on it. And that's when it can actually compound the injury and make it really, really bad and life-threatening. Like, if you break your arm, you know you've broken your arm. Or if you fracture it, there's something there and it doesn't sort of work properly anymore.
Although, having said that, my daughter is in a cast at the moment. And she was mucking around in the kitchen when she was cleaning up, whatever. And she just sort of, you know, just fell over. And she was saying, you know, maybe she hit her arm on like the, you know, on the granite bench top or something on the way down. And she was sort of saying, like, oh, you know, yeah, sore or whatever. So I had a look, and I was just sort of gently, sort of just, you know, yeah, touching it at points up and down like her forearm. And she was just like, she couldn't identify anything. And so we're like, oh, you're just probably just giving it a bang. So we'll just, you know, we'll see how you pull up in the morning. Mm. And it was still sore in the morning. She still couldn't identify anything. I thought, fuck, you know, look, I don't want to be like, you know, the bad parent though. So just in case, I'm going to take it down.
You don't want to be the parent that finds out 4 days later that your kid's fractured their arm.
Yeah, exactly. So she had the X-rays, and like you couldn't see it on the X-ray, but the doctor couldn't. She's just like two little cracks, and so it wasn't, you know, properly, you know, broken, but yeah, still in a cast for 4 weeks at least. Wow. So just past their wrist. So yeah, that was interesting. It's fucking cut her guitar career down for a month.
I'll tell you what.
She's not happy about it.
Fafita's lucky he doesn't play for the Dragons though. That'd be it'd be impossible to medically retire him after that.
Well, yes, true. Yeah. I mean, uniquely suited.
They'd induct him to the Hall of Fame for the Dragons.
Yeah, instantly. It'd
be a toss up between him and Dennis Ferguson.
Now, speaking of the Dragons, what an excellent opportunity for a segue you've provided me. Anthony Griffin. Well, there were reports today that Anthony Griffin, the coach of the Dragons, of course, he was set to install Jack DeBellin as the captain for their upcoming clash against the Roosters. He was considered for the captaincy just 6 weeks after misleading the club and the NRL over his involvement in Paul Vaughan's infamous barbecue. And obviously, public opinion was suitably outraged. And Tarek Sims, I believe, is going to be the guy getting the nod now. But after the fucking barbecue thing and then the 2 years or nearly 3 years out of the game with the no-fault stand-down because of, you know, the other shit.
What on earth would
compel you to even have him in the conversation? It just shows what a fucking bubble footy is. You know, where it sits in relation to the outside world of, you know, people with common sense or who consider more than just the fact that, oh, this guy's fucking funny in the, you know, sheds, the players like him in the sheds.
Much like the two incidents you mentioned, there's an element of someone involved or several parties involved thinking that rules don't apply. Whether that's actual law or laws of morality, you know, the fact that he was even shortlisted, so to speak, for the job is fucking, it blows my mind.
And look, just as I am wont to do, I shall light a candle instead of curse the fuckwits. But it does also mean that somebody within the club, because I doubt that story's gotten out by somebody who was enamoured with JDB and all for Hook's decision to give him the C.
Mm. You
know? To me, it reeks of a situation where the decision has been made, the decision can't be overturned, so a person who was on the losing side of the argument, yet the morally correct side of the argument, does a bit of a leaky leak.
Yeah.
And to get the steam up so the right thing happened in the end.
Yeah, exactly.
And what happens, you know, the last time JDB wasn't given the C, things didn't end up well.
Well, yeah.
So who knows what the fucking next atrocity committed is.
So you're telling me that he may...
I just got to expand this so I can see Jay's face because I just want him to look at me with those proud little eyes.
Oh, no, I've accidentally made myself vice captain too. It's accidental vice captaining. it happened with Brisbane when they were going to make Lodge captain.
Yeah.
And I think that one was just a case of the club spoke about that. I don't think that was an argument leakage. And then they were surprised and shocked. Went, oh, fuck, people still don't like him. Oh, okay, no worries.
Shelve that.
But if you're a Dragons fan, at least you know that somewhere within your club, and hopefully just for simple reasons about behaviour, and the guy who, you know, lied to police about where he was during the barbecue and was only done in because his girlfriend told the truth when they rang her and said, your car's at this address, and she's like, nah, nah, nah. Jack's gone to a barbecue at Vaughnie's house.
Does it speak to it has to speak to a lack of legitimate leadership if you're getting into the bottom of the barrel.
Honestly, being on the outside, it doesn't. And I wish I could say it did. And I've seen the same in large corporates. It is so fucking easy for an echo chamber to develop.
Mm.
You know, think about social media, right? And the algorithms in social media are designed to do this. They're designed to put you in touch with people who agree with you on polarizing issues. And then slowly but surely you find people that agree with you on this issue, but they're not on this one, so you cull them. And so the people that are left agree with, you know, 50% and then 60% and then 70% and 80% of what you agree with. And businesses are exactly the same. And especially businesses of favoritism like football, it is so fucking easy for, you know, if a coach notices an improvement in training effort when a certain player is around for whatever reason. Like, do you see the Instagram posts when JDB came back and it was Lomax and Dufty and those guys were, you know, throwing out the welcome mat? It is so fucking simple for an echo chamber to develop, and you just start to assume that the outside world or the entire world is nothing but an extrapolation of the opinions of your immediate surrounds.
Mm.
So it's...
And then anything that isn't that, and you've seen it plenty of times with football, and they use it to galvanise the squad at times, depending on, you know, the media or whatever the case might be. But if something negative or that goes against that echo chamber starts to filter in, then that's like, well, they're coming to get us. You know, we've got to galvanise, we've got to stay strong, we've got to stick together. And that's how it only accentuates the echo chamber.
That's it. It's easy to go from an echo chamber to an us and them mentality.
Yeah, exactly.
And the thing is, footy is like a simplified version of business too. I mean, it's as simple as he's probably one of, if not the most senior player at the club in terms of, you know, tenure, years, etc. Experience.
That's it. Yep.
And so they just go, oh well, you know, does he tick the boxes with the, you know, do the boys get around him? Yes.
Yeah, that's it.
Obvious choice for captain.
You know,
and they don't even fucking think.
Yeah.
As the other week when they put in a picture of him up there on the website for the
Women in League Round.
Like, form on the board for the Dragons, you know?
Exactly.
Not a happy story, this one, but at least it's not a sour taste in the mouth story. But James Maloney has announced that at the end of the season over there in the Super League that he will be retiring. And after more than 300 matches for the Storm, Warriors, Roosters, Sharks, Panthers, and now the Cattle and Dragons, as well as 14 Origins for New South Wales and 4 Tests for Australia, and of course those 14 Origins encompassed back-to-back series wins as well. He said, the time's come to hang up the boots from professional footy. It's been one hell of a ride and I've loved every minute of it. Thanks to everyone who's played a part in my career along the way, most importantly, my beautiful wife, Jess Maloney, who's been there from the start. Now to finish on a great note, had a lot of fun. I'm very fortunate to have a long career that has given me and my family so many opportunities. At the moment, he's got Catalan on top of the table over there, and he's the leading point scorer for the competition. So, I guess he's got a good chance to go out a winner.
It's a story of his career, really. He's probably not a guy that was blessed with freakish talent as far as, you know, some of the other guys that have come and gone before him, but everywhere he's been, he's had success. He's played for his country, played Origin, as you say, and nothing in the game he hasn't done, and he's gone to England and made a success of himself over there as well. So retire and be able to look back on a wonderful career.
Absolute fucking shit choice in friends in his personal life. As long time listeners and cum tributors of this show can attest to. But
oh yes.
A couple of things. You know, one of the comments that was repeated over and over and over in various degrees about him, and Gus summed it up so beautifully. And so the best thing about him in a game is he's got a goldfish memory, which means he was the exact opposite. He was the bizarro fucking I've even forgotten his name. Jamie Soward.
Yeah,
you know, he was the entire opposite of Jamie Soward, whereas Maloney could throw the wrong pass 20 times, or, you know, throw five forward passes and kick it out on the full and miss 10 tackles, but he'd still want the ball in his hands every play. Every play, whatever happened, everything that had already happened in the game meant nothing to him, which is a really, really rare asset. And probably one of the last of the larrikin achievers. You know, I'd say the most similar to him at the moment would be Cam Munster.
Yeah, and cheese, yeah.
You know, no, well, not even the cheese. Because Maloney's done that thing where he has gone to clubs and dragged them into relevance.
Yeah.
You know, the vast majority of Nathan Cleary's game management he's learned from James Maloney, because he played next to him for so long, was in his shadow for so long. And there were that many times where young Nathan didn't have the experience in games that Maloney just went, well, fuck you then. I'll just do everything. Watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolute gentleman in terms of fans, was very often at Panthers games the last one around on the field. You know, he was the guy who, when everyone else was walking back into the sheds, would look around and make sure there was no one else in Suncorp. And if there was somebody standing at a fence on the other corner, he'd jog over.
Yep.
You know, so fantastic career. Congratulations.
Now, last thing, the thing about this is, I don't think it's a story yet, because it's really just come from Brent Reed from The Australian on Triple M, where he speculated that Brad Fittler could be on the way to coach Parramatta.
Oof.
Given his development work he does with with some of these Eels players like Moses and so on, and also obviously the pressure on Brad Arthur after the Eels absolutely imploding this season, and not only having four straight losses but also getting absolutely fucking smashed by Manly up at Sunny Coast on Saturday night. Look, I honestly don't have no idea about this for anything. I don't really care. I don't care if he coaches Parramatta. I don't care if he's not the New South Wales coach either, because, you know, he's a Kevin Walters style coach. I think he's not a thinker. He's a feeler in terms of the coaching.
That's really cool. I think New South Wales are also at a point with the squad that they have at the moment that a fucking turtle could coach them.
Yeah, like the Queensland dynasty team. Yeah. I mean, yeah, these guys don't need they just need to be pointed in the right direction and unleashed. You know.
Yeah.
But I think, like, the fact that the Eels are sixth now, guaranteed to play finals football, despite what's been going on with them over the last month. Brad Arthur's performance over this last it's like coach getting sacked material.
Yeah.
Given the side and the performance, except the fact is they're still in the good part of the finals. You know, teams, and they can't fall into the bad part of the finals teams. Well, they can't. They just can't.
They can't.
The Knights could catch them on the points on the table, but they'd never reverse that for and against. That's the only thing saving him at the moment, I think. I mean, the Brad Arthur experiment, it's not an experiment, his era is characterized by strong Parramatta sides through most of the regular season. And then capitulations in the finals.
Yeah.
And now it just feels like the capitulation's starting earlier in the season than it has been.
Yeah.
With regards to Freddie and you know, I think he, you know, that the Eels have the vast majority of the pieces to be a genuine contender, which leads you to believe that most of their issues are mental. Outside of Marnie's injury and Moses' issue with his back. But, and Freddie is the type of guy that can get that extra out of the guys mentally, I feel, which is why he's.
That's it. Because remember, which is that, why time, he's an origin remember coach. That time Lebanon rang the, you know, won the World Cup.
you can only fucking get that squad so far.
Who was their half?
But. Mitchell fucking Moses. Exactly. My point.
Did you hear the thing about the accommodation for the families? apparently this is one of the sore points with the Eels. It could be partially, a factor, I guess, in terms of team unity. We've seen some teams just fucking love the bubble. Like the Manly players, you see, like on Insta and everything, they're fucking having a blast up there. The Eels, apparently, though, have had rooms at the resort or the hotel been assigned to players sort of based on their status rather than the need. So, for example, you might have a single player or a player who's got a girlfriend, and he's sat in a room with a deluxe room with a veranda and everything. Well, there's another player who's got a wife and a couple of kids stuck in like a studio sort of, small room, you know what I mean? So
that's interesting.
It is. And I mean, so if that's the case, then that's it's mental, but it's also just poor management from the top down in the club.
Mm.
Yeah.
And it doesn't surprise, the reason why I find it interesting is because it kind of matches up with things you see on the field, like Gutho calling people, people fucking, can't do this. And Mitchell Moses obviously, gobs off at players as well. And just wonder, like, if they're being empowered by the way they're treated within the club.
Well, maybe Gutho's in a fucking twin single. And Opacik is, he's got the veranda and the, maybe that's why he thinks he's a dumb cunt.
Look, I don't think any player is enough of a prima donna, because just as we were saying before about, it's easy to get these guys into an echo chamber with an us versus them mentality. I don't think any one player is enough of a prima donna to be, I demand a better room, I want this, I want that. I'm Clint fucking Gutherson. As much as it would humour me if he was, I would suggest that if this story has any truth to it, it's 100% the agents.
Yeah, well, I think it might just be the club, though. Just the fuck up on the club,
It may be as well, but if it's something where the club has been pressured into it, I'm saying it wouldn't have been the players.
Yeah.
It'd be some shit cunt's agent who's up for contract renewal and who's trying to, you better show him how important he is to you. You better, da da da.
Yep, yep. I wonder who that could be.
Yeah, pretty poor form, hey.
Yeah, it is. It is. Previews, first game up Thursday night, Cbus Super Stadium. Tell you what, the Gold Coast would be loving the fact that every single game they've had for the last 2 months of the season are home games.
That's true.
Where they're otherwise signed.
It is a shame that they will not win another game this year.
Ooh, okay. Gold Coast Titans versus the Melbourne Storm. The Titans side, AJ Brimson, injured, fractured jaw. Mo Fotuaika, he's out. Jaden Campbell comes in at fullback, while Tino moves to prop with McIntyre at lock. Fafita is in the second row and Firmer on the bench. Toby Sexton has been removed to make way for the return of Jamal Fogarty in halves, with Sammy on the reserves list in 18. Storm side, Brandon Smith, Dale Finucane, Jerome Hughes and Justin Olimar out, while George Jennings comes into the side and in replace of Aramia. Harry Grant replaces Smith at hooker. Finucane is replaced by Chris Lewis at lock. Marion Sevi makes his first appearance of the year in the centres. And Nico Hines is half, with Pappenhausen fullback, Tepai Moroa and Cooper Johns on the bench. So the Storm have allocated this as a rest day.
Mm.
Will it make a difference?
No, I still think if you look at that squad, Munster's still there, Harry Grant to control the ruck and the ruck speed. And I like Jaden Campbell at fullback. I think with more games, more minutes under his belt, he's got a bright future, but Storm be way too strong.
Yeah, yeah.
Even with the return of Fogarty, who is a bit of a sort of spiritual leader there, he tends to lift the guys around him, but it won't be enough to get over to Melbourne.
Also, no Hey Brockton.
Yeah.
Who, for his, being his first couple of games, has been absolutely sensational for the Titans. And probably the only bright spark in their attack. But this storm, you can see them future planning. Like, you know, they know they're losing Nico Hines next year.
Yep.
And they're just like, ah, you know what? Here is a perfect fucking opportunity for us to get some first grade experience into these kids. It's just rinse, repeat on what they've been doing for years. And I don't know when other clubs start to take notice.
And I suspect this will be the game where Pappenhausen starts to, you know, give us our first looks again of him, you know, being somewhat himself.
I fucking hope so, hey.
Starting in the one, presumably he's going to get a full game.
Pappy hat-trick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll do that 5-try-in-11-minutes thing, because one thing about the Titans, doesn't matter how well they go offensively, their defense is still...
Yeah.
Some of the worst, like, you know, take it across the full season, some of the worst across the in the entire league.
It's as fragile as AJ Brimson's jaw.
Yep, absolute fullback biscuit.
Fuck, there you go. Hate to see them. Okay. I thought you were going to say it's as fragile as that bearded guy's grip on the outside of the cargo door.
Oh. And fucking Glenn just got possessed by the fucking ghost of Laurie Nichols.
Fucking love it.
So we assume that the Storm are going to be winning by...
We don't assume anything. We know that the Storm are going to crush them.
Yeah, all right. I want out of this game is for some lazy shit cunt Titan to not stick his arm out and coat hanger Pappenhausen and set us back another 6 months.
Mm. Yeah.
I need that kid in a Blues jersey next year.
Yeah, now, the Friday game, first game, Canberra Raiders versus the mighty Manly Seagulls at Suncorp Stadium, and I shall be there. The Raiders side, Nickel Klokstad returns, or Klukstad returns, named on the bench. Surely that would be a late swap, though, and don't get any, I mean, you don't want to go into it with Rapiner at fullback, kind of thing. Croker drops out due to HIA. Sebastian Chris named in the centres. Harry O'Neill suspended, obviously, after his code hanger last week. And Matt Frawley is brought onto the bench. Manly side. Kurt DeLewis drops out to allow the return of Toff Sipley from suspension. Suli replaces Brad Parker. He'll be out with the HIA after getting fucking knocked out last week. And Tommy Turbo named it fullback despite the dueling media reports. So Bulldog tried to go fucking early on this one. On probably what, Sunday night, I think it was, saying, oh, it's fucking, you know, he's got a fractured cheekbone. He'd be lucky if he plays again before finals. It's terrible. And then the next day, the club were like, had the scans. Yeah, he's a little bit sore, but there's no problem.
Yep.
And we would love to give him a rest, but he wants to fucking play. So, yeah, whether that means that he's like, look, I just, yeah. Dally M's on the table here. Yeah, I don't know, but I'm half expecting to be rested. We'll see what happens. Obviously, it's one of the earlier games in the round.
How many points could he have possibly gotten?
Oh, I don't know. How many games has he played? Times that by three, essentially.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, just hypothetically, if he got three in all of the games he played.
Yeah, fucking, how many games has he played this season?
And he came back round 5, 6?
He came back. He came back for round 6.
Yeah, but then and he we're just trying to think of
how many games. Origin. Yeah, missed a couple with Origin, and there was definitely.
Anyway, someone else tell us.
Yeah, someone else tell us.
Time for this.
Yeah,
it's not like there's a live ladder predictor.
yeah, exactly. I mean, we will fuck it. We will supply ample amounts of dead air for a live ladder predictor. You better believe that. Yeah, look. Manly easy. I mean, the Raiders barely got him last time, and they didn't have Daly, Tommy.
He's played 13 games this year.
13, yeah. The math run, yeah. So let's assume that he has like, well, okay. Let's say he doesn't get three every time, but let's assume he's probably got 33 or something.
Let's say he does.
Okay. So yeah, all right. So
what won? What won it last year? What did Whiten get?
Well, like it was like 20 something, wasn't it?
Okay.
Wasn't it like high 20s?
Okay.
But Cody Walker would also be pulling a fuck ton.
Yeah,
but then again, he maybe gets cannibalized a little bit from
Latrell.
You know, Latrell and yeah. Don't know. It's interesting. Well, I mean, when does that all become, how far do we see it? Isn't it like public to a point?
Who knows? Who knows? It's fucking the Russians and Chinese have got it anyway, so it's not a fucking legitimate award.
Yeah, Jack Whiten won it last year with 26 points.
Yeah, so two parts of that are fucked up.
Yeah, Jack Whiten.
The most fucked up thing is that Clint Gutherson was second on 25 ahead of Nathan Cleary.
Jesus Christ. And these are the cunts you click on their articles, you dumb fucks.
Yeah, it was the perfect. It was the perfect example of your point about them being first rather than right.
Mm.
With this whole thing about, you know, about Tom fracturing his cheekbone and he was going to be out for, you know, be maybe back for the Cowboys game and that sort of thing. So, yeah, I think there's a good chance he'll be rested, but I know that he would have an eye on. Not the Dally End, but I think you have an eye on the fact that we have to win all three games, and then if we do, we'll most probably get top four spot because the South will probably take a game off the Roosters next week. So, look, I hope that's the case, and if that's the case, we're going to give Canberra what we gave Parramatta.
We didn't talk about this in the news, but it's just occurred to me, like, and I'll get to it. But can you imagine if fucking journos had to have a ladder like the clubs do?
Based on, like, correct reports and stuff,
That's it. Like, just a for and against.
Yeah,
imagine
that would be
amazing.
Imagine
if they had to have a fucking for and against.
I don't know. It's not someone I followed, but I saw it retweeted, like, last year. I don't know if they're doing it this year. Someone on Twitter was doing that, and I can't for the life of me remember who it was. But they would sort of quote tweet the article from the reporter with a live tally update on what that reporter's...
Yeah.
record was for the year. Obviously, it's not sustainable to do it on Twitter because you very quickly find yourself blocked by the journalist in question.
Yeah, that's
but,
it. But wouldn't it be... It would be fucking great because the other thing I was going to say, did you hear the news report about Annesley came out and slammed coaches for talking about the referees?
Mm.
You know, saying you don't hear anything about the average of 60 missed tackles per game or you don't hear this, you don't hear that?
It's not really for his place to be saying that sort of thing.
Well, I'll tell you what. Do you know what the players don't have? A fucking giant multi-million-dollar technology system that can help them out if they fuck up.
Yeah.
They don't get to attempt a tackle, then stop the game, go to a bunker.
Get a robot to do it for them.
Get someone else to come in and go, oh, no. Overturn that missed tackle. Try it again. Fuck.
Yep.
Anyway, sorry.
But if that's the attitude comes from the top and the refereeing as well, though, I mean, that's, you know, is there any wonder why they're as fucked as they are?
Oh, there we go. Us first, them.
Yep. That's it. The Manly bloke, Manly bloke plenty, obviously, Tommy or not. The Panthers. Oh, and the interesting about this game is with all the games coming up towards the end of the season, I'm very interested in... Reuben Garrett continuing to accumulate points because as we stand now going into this round, Reuben Garrett has scored as many points as the Bulldogs in their entirety all season. It's a dead heat with three games to go. So with a game against the Bulldogs coming up next week, it's that should be enough for Rubes to pull away. And the other thing with Rubes being a St. George junior and Jason Saab obviously coming from the Dragons as well, between the two of them, I think they are only 38 points behind the total the Dragons have scored in total this year as well. So they may go back and hit them on the end by the end of the season. Second game, Panthers take on the Rabbitohs. Match of the round.
It is.
By far. The Panthers side, Appy returns, so Kenny goes back to the bench. Capewell's back, so that pushes Targo to the bench. Fisher Harris and Pangai Jr. both named on the reserves. Possible inclusions coming up for those two. The Rabbits, Alex Johnson returns on the wing, very timely. So that puts Jackson Paulo out of the side. Dane Gagai and Campbell Graham return as a centre pairing. Tane Milne drops to the reserves and Braden Burns has been omitted. So good side both ways.
Mm.
Shaping up to just be a battle of the left side attacks.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. How long's Fisher Harris out of the bubble for?
He's potentially back this week. I think
he's named in the 21, so he must be
It must be. Yeah.
They wouldn't put him in there if he wasn't going to be eligible by Friday, right?
That's sure. it. Yeah. So, because wasn't that one of the changes that a player couldn't be named even in the 21 if it was impossible for them to play? Wasn't that one of the things they overhauled, or am I imagining that?
I'm not sure.
I don't know, but it makes perfect sense.
Because outside of him and arguably Pangai Jr., would you say that's a full-strength Penrith side?
So you're saying, would I say it's a full-strength Penrith side except for the players it's missing, which would not make it?
No, I'm saying, other than that, just those two. Is there anyone else missing is my point.
To'o.
To'o.
Oh, To'o, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Because you want to get, you fuck off Momorowski and Bizza. Yeah. Crichton in there and bring him in and then...
To'o and Bizza. That's a deep cut to the Panthers fans out there, because there's some fucking fool on Panthers Facebook who doesn't know they're the same person. Someone screen capped it and put it in the other day. So, who else is Penrith missing? And he's like, To'o and Bizza. And he's just fucking oblivious. and he's a big out, especially against that South Sydney side.
Yeah.
Where there is so much, there's so much worth put on territory.
Yeah, yep. Bringing Reynolds kicks back, he's massive.
Exactly. Massive guy, yeah. He's going to dictate where you pick the ball up, and if you've got someone that can fuck his plans up by 8 or 9 meters every time, that's very valuable. But this one is going to be a test of that resolve, and. It's the first time in a long time that this squad's gone up against solid opposition. With most of their guns. They obviously played the Roosters a little while ago on the top four side, but Cleary was fresh back, and there are a couple of other things obviously with the Roosters that didn't have them firing on all cylinders. I think that Penrith need to keep this close early. If the Rabbits get out to a lead, I think the beatings in Penrith's recent past have the potential to come back and haunt them. But if Penrith can rely on their defence, as they have been when they were leading the competition, then over the 80 minutes, I reckon Cleary is up to the job of going into a game manager battle with Reynolds.
100%.
And I think he's got the goods to bring it home. So I also need kick out and not do any fucking stupid kick out stuff and do something like get himself sent off.
For 10 minutes. He is due one of those games that he's renowned for, though. He hasn't had one of them for a little while. And
I don't think he has games like that. He definitely has patches like
moments,
that.
Yep. But I think if there's a way to get it south, in my opinion, it's that ascendancy through the ruck.
Yes.
Because their whole game plan comes off that.
Yes.
So if you can take that to them there.
Yep.
And then, the onus really comes around guys like Liam Martin on the edges as well. But if you can get at them there and with Penrith's speed, so Appy is key, right? Getting those guys quick around the ruck, quick play the balls.
Appy's key, Yo's key, people like Martin are key.
Sure. Yo, especially with his creativity as well as his feet and his quick play the ball.
That's it. But also, I reckon Romy is going to be absolutely massive in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they're going to win, they need that earlier in the year, Penrith, of 80 minutes of dominance, of applying pressure. And you remember when everyone was saying, oh, Penrith takes so long to put on points. They take so many opportunities in the 20 to put on points. I give absolutely no fucks, because that's a team that's playing a long-term strategy. They're like, we'll just fucking camp down here. Just
build pressure.
Just patient, and they're not conceding points or being put under pressure themselves.
Yeah, and how many times do you see the team that's made 500 tackles compared to 400 lose?
Yeah.
Every time. But, Penrith 13+, put your fucking house on it.
And we'll see. I mean, all Cody Walker has to do is whisper a few sweet nothings into Kickow's ear. and kick our swing on him. Because...
But then all Romy will have to do is show Walker a picture of a State of Origin trophy and it'll fucking disappear again.
Here you go, Nate.
Yeah, I'm going. I'm going.
I mean, sorry. Who are you backing in this game?
Look, I'm leaning towards Souths, and the reason why is just because they are building. I feel like they're closer to the finished article right now.
Mm.
Whereas Penrith still haven't come back really from the player drain that they've been through over the last couple of weeks, and like they took some steps last week, but. This is a whole different fucking, you know, playing the Dragons, you know, with Cleary sort of working his way back into footy again after a fairly, you know, serious and, you know,
yeah.
a fairly, you know, critical injury in terms of, you know, like a rugby league player, especially him. This is the real level. We've seen what Souths have done to everybody recently. They're other than the Storm, I mean, they're the benchmark currently as we sit like round 23 on current form. So it's a big test. And I just feel like the Rabbitohs are probably just going better at the moment. And that may be the difference. And look, yeah, Panthers are getting their guys back. So at the end of the day, we've got to expect that they're going to find, you know, their top gear too over the next couple of weeks. It's just whether it comes as soon as this week.
Yep.
Yeah.
Saturday, the Tigers take on the Sharks at Brown Park. This one is like rocky, is it?
Yeah.
Yep. Geez, ticket prices. I saw on Twitter today, they're not fucking cheap. I've never set foot in Rockhampton in my life, but from what I understand,
Brown if you Park had, is, you would want to step foot right out of the cunt of a joint very quickly.
Yeah. Brown Park, as far as I understand it. Makes Leichhardt Oval look like a fucking Suncorp Stadium. However, ticket prices as much as $100.
Wow.
So they're certainly fleecing the fucking.
If it's one thing, certainly being involved in the mining and heavy earth moving industry, it's one thing people in Rockhampton know how to do. It's charge.
Yeah. Yep. And get all that FIFO.
Yeah.
Cash. Oh, fuck. Yeah. The Tigers side, Little and McKaylee are suspended, so Simkin comes into hooker, and James Tamau returns. The Sharky side, Tolman suspended, Fifita with the aforementioned larynx injury, they both dropped out of the side. So Rudolph moves to prop, Williams to lock, and Wilton returns on the bench, Moylan named in the reserves. Must win for the Tigers, obviously, to achieve their destiny.
I agree, Nathan. Look, it is a big match for the Tigers. They could exercise a few demons by winning a game they need to win or are expected to win. I say expected to win. The Sharks are $1.55 favourites. If you have a look at their squad, I don't know how. But the bookies clearly have an understanding of the last decade of West Tigers history and they've probably watched a little bit of Tiger Town. I expect the Tigers to win this game. I expect them to be much better than they were last week.
Maybe that's it. Maybe the sports bet algorithm has analysed Tiger Town.
Well, it's just another variable, isn't it? I mean, these bookies will take everything into account.
Yeah, exactly.
It is funny. Like, you do when you, I mean, I look at it on paper, despite the seasons of the teams and how everything's going, and I look at it and I think, well, yeah, of course the West Tigers are going to win this game.
Mm.
But last week, I thought the Knights would absolutely put the fucking cleaners through the Sharks. The same Sharks side,
and they did not.
The Sharks had a red hot crack at fucking winning it.
Mm.
Is that a comment though on the Sharks or the Knights?
I feel like it's that the Sharks have just got a level of grit and determination that's certainly not like their patented style of, you know, 5 years ago. However. No. It's enough. Like, I mean, when the night we saw that Knights game and they just put that try on in 30 seconds flat and it looked slick and they caught them so napping.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, this is, And I thought, well, here we fucking go. This is the game I expect it to be. And then it was never like that again for the entire duration. I don't know. Obviously, you know, I don't consider Fifita to be a huge out because he's not really, you know, he's not the Andrew Fifita of old these days.
I am concerned about James Roberts being named in number 17. Not sure carrying a winger on your bench. And it seems to be a bit of a habit that Maguire is forming. He's had,
Zaccini there for 2 weeks in a row,
as well.
Yeah.
Not really.
Look, I'm trying to cast my mind back. Was there an occasion where you guys got fucked over by, you know, an HIA or an injury or something to an outside back or to a reshuffle in an important game under Maguire? Or did it happen to him at Souths? Is this some demon that he's got from his past?
I don't think it is.
Because it's not uncommon to carry a utility who can slot into maybe a centre position.
James Roberts is, you know, he's a career centre, but he's played his two best games for the Tigers on the wing.
Or is he?
and you have fullback. You have Moses Mbai at fullback who does have that utility value if they need to shuffle things around.
Mm.
But, you know, or is he looking at what Dez has done with Walker?
Fair point.
Yeah, turn a centre into a creative. But the thing is that James Roberts, all he's ever had is speed.
Yeah.
He's not been a creative fucking ball-playing character.
Well, neither is Dylan Walker, really.
You can say he was creative. Well,
but Dylan Walker spent a lot of time at 5'8", though. So, I mean, he has the experience. And then he comes on and just basically plays like an extra sort of 5'8", or like a ball-playing sort of lock.
Yeah.
So I mean, he has played seasons at 5'8". So, I mean, whereas Roberts has spent the majority of his time waiting to catch a pass and put it down and run fast and get an intercept.
I'm not arguing for the bench spot. But
and look, maybe he's seen something in training. But the only thing that makes me think it's not actually the thing that makes me believe that this is not a James Roberts thing, and that it's more of a Madge weird selection thing is the fact he's carried Zaccini for the last two weeks.
Yeah.
So another winger or another, you know, outside back in the same seven. You know,
100%.
So I think what's happened is over the last 2 weeks, he's like, look, when it comes to putting an outside back on the bench, I was fucking bang on that. I don't think Zach's the guy. Maybe it's Jimmy. And so he slots him in. I don't fucking know. Look, then you've got Cheekham in the centres as well. I mean, Cheekham, you know, shuffle him to the back row and then you've got Robert slide straight into the centre.
Righto, you've convinced me. Tigers by 30. Gotcha.
I wasn't trying to convince you of anything and I don't know how that could have. But, you know, obviously.
There you go.
How are the Tigers going to go up in Rockhampton? Big Tigers community up there?
There's a big Tigers community everywhere. Tigers fans are everywhere. Can't escape them, no matter how hard you may try. Look at you two cunts.
Yep, I hear. Look, for you, I'm going to tip the West Tigers to win.
Oh, thanks, mate. By 30?
No.
Okay.
It will not be by 30.
Jay, on fucking, Jay, you on the train by 30?
Not even on their best day. Not even on their best day.
It's come on, Jay.
No.
Join me. Join me over here.
No.
Tigers by 30. Say it. Fucking say it, cunt.
No. No, Sharks to win.
Ooh.
Oh, yep. You piece of shit.
Heartbreaking for the Tig Pies. This was one that you needed on Stepdad's Ladder Predictor 2 weeks ago.
You did.
You needed this one.
This fucking guy.
So you'll need it again. We have to go back to the drawing board and the Ladder Predictor on Sunday night. The Doggies take on the
fucking
Knights.
Fucking toxic, Jay. It's fucking toxic behaviour.
Did you listen to a podcast or something, Glenn?
No, I listened to Jay before we hit record.
Doggies take on the Knights.
Now you're gaslighting.
Speaking of toxic behaviour. Oh, no.
You're gaslighting me, Glenn.
Fucking learn from the best.
I was trying to think of that quote from Rick, the newsreader Rick was saying about gaslighting to the what did he say? He said something about I can't paraphrase it because I'll just fuck it up, but yeah. It was something about, you know, No, maybe it's the crazy bitch. Doggies, take on the Knights. Speaking of toxic behaviour, the NRL has bestowed this fucking game upon us for Saturday down at Seabus. The Doggies. Okay, so Marshall King is out of the side for personal reasons. Sione Katoa has been omitted. So Jackson Topine returns to the side at hooker. Luke Thompson comes back from suspension at prop. Overseer Manafin and I benched. Waddell is back after a calf injury, which pushes Dory and Patolo out of the 17. Averillo is named to play despite, did he break his hand? I think it was. I'm not sure he'll front up. Bailey Biondiotto is benched and Kyle Flanagan will play half. Corey Allen replaces Manu on the wing.
Look, if we're ever going to do this minute in league, this is the one to do it.
Knights. Just
whoever's playing.
I can bump it out to a good. I can bump it out to a minute 30. Did you hear that the Bulldogs are shopping Luke Thompson? Not shopping necessarily, but they understand that he's in demand. They aren't willing to go down a longer path contract for him.
Jesus.
And if he can find a suitor, he'll probably be have the blessing to leave. Word on the street is Tigers could be keen.
That's the word on every street. every time a player comes up.
But this time the word might be this time the word might actually result in them picking up a handy player instead of some dude that's like fucking well past it.
No, they won't have any money after they sign Gutherson and Woods.
Yeah, true.
You're gaslighting. Now stop it.
$2 million a season.
Yes. I mean, it's only fair for the homecoming of Woodsy.
Oh, welcome home, big dog.
Hashtag 2040. Now, the Newcastle Knights side. Daniel Saifidi's injured. Tyson Frizzell is suspended. Clemmer starts at prop. Revenge game. And Brody Jones comes into the second row for Frizzell. Momoi Sia and Chris Randall join the bench. And Momoi Sia is making his NRL debut. Jira Momoi Sia. Look,
Knights.
It doesn't matter who the Knights put on there. Knights are going to win.
Yeah.
By plenty. Yeah. And it's funny to see like the Doggies with both of their hookers out of the side. Like they had a fucking first grade hooker anyway.
Mm.
Yeah, between them. So
why didn't they just borrow the hooker off Canberra? Canberra's fucking very generous. Just donating fucking players to the Dogs.
I don't think they've got any spare ones.
They could just run Starling James at hooker.
Yeah. Why not? And he will be the best option at hooker that the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs have had all year.
I just had to confirm that I think Starling is out for the Raiders. I think he's injured, so Starling's out for the Raiders. So yeah, they don't have a hooker to spare either.
They don't have a square to spare.
You know, Knights by plenty, of course. Like it was ever in any doubt. The Parramatta Eels take on the Cowboys at Seabus. The Eels side. Oldie and Opacek are dropped with Pennicini and Dunster into the lineup in the back line.
Because that game was all their fault last week.
Yeah, like it was all their fault. Like it's like against the Rabbitohs. I mean, that fucking, you know, the left side thing is going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily the issue of the play. It wasn't like they would be massively caught out of position. And remember, the most spectacular try in that game conceded was Gutherson thrown off and then Moses and then passed it, you know. So, yeah, there was nobody that escaped criticism from that game. But Madison suspended, so Nikore is named in the back row. Kafusi returns on the interchange and the Cowboys side. Okay, so Felt and Hess have been named despite sustaining injuries last weekend. Niami is out suspended. Ruben Cotter has been on the sideline with a foot injury for ages, but he's coming back in. And Taumalolo is on the reserves list in number 18, along with the Hammer in number 19. So perhaps some troops returning for the Cowboys.
I expect Parra to win this game handily, and they can thank the West Tigers for destroying the Cowboys' hearts and souls and every part of their fucking rugby league club.
The Eels can, no matter what the Eels do, surely they can get back, not to form, but they can, you know, get back on the board.
If they lose to the Cowboys, that is officially a team playing to get their coach sacked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
And playing to get, you know, knocked out first week of the finals as well.
Well, it's going to happen regardless, but...
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Parramatta have a serviceable attack. You know, there wasn't much wrong with their attack. They've come up against some very good defensive sides who also happen to be extremely good attacking sides over the last little while.
I think their attack is one of the big problems. I mean, saying that after they've conceded 56 points is...
No. I'm saying it's serviceable and that the Cowboys' defence is putrid.
Yeah.
So I don't think Parramatta will have enough problems putting points on
it. Fair point.
The thing is, Mitchell Moses will need to have like more than one fucking touch in the first half.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
And actually do something and earn his fucking salary. Because old Cumtop over the other side of the field isn't doing the business for them. So, and Gutho, he was nowhere. Like it is so mental with these guys because just the involvements of the guys that they would, you know, be presumably spending the majority of their cap on.
How does your seven have one touch in 40 minutes? That's fucking criminal.
Yeah, it's nuts. So yeah, look, I'm confident the Eels are going to win. I'm not even going to say that I'm tipping them without confidence, just because of the sheer nature of, you know, the low quality opposition they're facing this week, and especially the Cowboys. I mean, when some of the only things they've got going for them are, you know, JT and Tabuai Fido. Yeah. There's not a lot of weaponry there.
That's it.
The Dragons take on the Roosters. Up there, up on the hill, up on Glennie's Hill.
Oh,
Toowoomba.
The Dragon side. So McCulloch, he's injured. Out for the season, I believe, is he? I mean, you know, for what's left of it. His hooker role is filled by Josh Maguire. DeBellin moves to prop. Tarek Sims returns at lock and will captain the side. Cade Ellis was promoted to starting front row. Jared Beale is out. Dufty returns at fullback and Bird to centre. Amoni's named 5/8 with Norman at halfback and Adam Clune dropped to the reserves while Sullivan and Alvaro joined the bench.
Yeah.
So, Clune, has he been punished because word on the street is he's going to be signed to the Knights? Because I just don't understand what are the methodology into fucking ever naming Corey Norman again. I mean, you've told him that he's not, you know, that he's not getting the contract renewal. So
maybe that's it though. Maybe they're looking at who they're losing as understudies and just fucking praying that he's one of those, I'll show you guys, which I don't think he is.
He hasn't been. I mean, he's been showing people he's had like 2 months to show people.
Yeah.
The Roosters side, they've got Letters returns at prop. Liu moves to lock to replace Victor Radley, who's suspended again. Ben Thomas replaces White on the bench. Otherwise, we're starting to see a little bit of consistency in the Roosters lineup, especially in the back line. From the halves on down. So, look, I mean, it's the Dragons.
Look, I think
they did better than I expected. Roosters should
fucking crush them.
The only difference here is the Roosters are going to win 1-12, or they're going to win 13+, and I think that comes down to Teddy do his fucking crop circles?
Yeah.
That he's been doing. Fuck, I love that comment. I forget who put that in, but thank you for that.
Yeah.
Jesus, just fucking hang off the hooker and the second rowers.
Yep.
And every time you see their body twist, like the most common sight in a Roosters game. Used to be Teddy powering up, expecting an offload. It doesn't come, so he does that thing where he slows down once he's past the line and jogs back.
Yep.
Do that every fucking play.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. And occasionally the offload came and he was gone.
Yeah.
Setting up a try. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Look, I don't think the Roosters are going to have any issues beating a half-backless and hookerless Dragon side. I mean, they were made to look a lot better than they are by the Panthers just on the scoreboard, just through some brilliance from Amoni, two moments of brilliance.
Yep.
From him. Roosters easily, and the Broncos take on the Warriors at Suncorp Stadium. The Broncos side. Milford starts in the halves alongside Albert Kelly. Brody Croft is named on the reserves because Kelly allegedly has a knee injury and he may not be past fit. Farnworth returns at centre. Meade drops to interchange. And Willison is out of the squad, an ACL. And Bullmore returns on the bench. The Warriors side. Jackson Free and Edward Cozzi drops the reserves with DWZ returning on the wing and Jermaine Tenoa-Brown listed to start. Bailey Sirenin at lock pushes Jazz Tavanga to the bench.
Oof.
This is an interesting one because the Broncos have most certainly shown more over the last month than they have in two seasons.
Yeah.
But the Warriors also, we thought that they were the first team to check out for the year and they've since put on three straight wins.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. So
I'm going to go to the Broncos.
Sunday afternoon. Well, you got to back your team, right? You're acting like you cared about us at the start of the episode. And look how quickly, an hour and seven minutes later, look at you. Look at the fucking state of you. Milford and presumably injured Kelly in the halves, or Milford and Croft in the halves, doesn't fill me with any degree of confidence for the Broncos generating any sustained attack or pressure.
Yeah.
So their points are going to come through Payne Haas fucking trucking through offload and or Tessie New returning a kick to the house.
I can't believe the difference. Like, you know, when you remember when JT got his 10-year deal and everyone was so fucking happy for him? Like at the time, the Cowboys were a force. They're like, fuck, that's great. That's a foundation piece. You can build a club around him. You've got certainty for 10 years. Imagine the dynasty they'll fucking build. Mm-hmm. Now, it's like, who the fuck? Do you see the Broncos are trying to do the same thing with Haas?
Yeah.
Give him a 10-year deal? Like,
yep.
Fuck, man. How would he do that?
Yeah, a sliding doors moment. I mean, like, Manly approached the Broncos at the end of the off-season to try and get Payne Haas, and he wanted to come to Manly. And the Broncos are just like, there's not, under no fucking circumstances whatsoever after losing David Fifita.
Yeah.
Are we ever going to fucking release you, motherfucker?
Yeah.
And I mean, like, look, it's going to work out better for him, not in terms of career success, but in terms of the fact that he will secure a Taumalolo-ish 10-year deal that'll set him and his family up for good, you know? Exactly. So, I mean, best of luck to him. But, and look, yeah, the Cowboys deal is it's still going, it's going fair. I mean, we've had some, there's been some issues this year with Peyton, presumably, you know, with Taumalolo. They were sort of butting heads earlier in the season and there was, you know, some speculation and this and that, and then he's had his hand injuries. But other than that, I mean, the 10-year deal's been, for him, it's been, you know, his form has been great the whole time.
Yep.
Yeah, he's been doing his job. Yeah, I mean, the Cowboys side, yeah, losing one of the greatest, you know, halfbacks ever to play the game is a blow.
Yeah,
and then he's tremendous understudy that also took the grand final, losing him is, you know, that's a blow as well, but you know, franchise aside, yeah, the deal's been working for him, you know, and he's been doing his part to live up to the deal with the club. I mean, it's just the pieces around him that aren't up to it, but yeah, I mean, if the Broncos overspend on Payne Haas, like, I understand that they have to because that's what they are now. I mean, at the moment they have to pay. To get people.
I don't think anyone would object to it right now. But no. as Jay alluded to with the Taumalolo signing, now we're looking at it that it's not going to work out for the player. Like, the club's happy to have the player for 10 years, but is the player happy to be at the club for 10 years?
Yep. Now, this game, though, you're saying Broncos, are you, Glenn?
I'm saying Broncos only because I need the Warriors to lose.
Also, this is a West Tigers beneficial wishful thinking thing.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Yeah, look, Milford and Kelly in the halves or Milford and Croft, that's the two options. That's the thing that stops me because I'm sure that, you know, Payne Haas is going to... And Danny Levi as the hooker. But there are some key fucking pieces in that Broncos side that are just malfunctioning trash. And as well as Payne Haas plays and, you know, Jordan Rickey, you know, It kind of doesn't matter if those guys, like Xavier Coates, is he going to get the ball?
Yeah.
I will say that the Warriors, they've won three games, but for us to expect any sort of consistency out of the Warriors, inconsistency is in their DNA. So they're due a dip.
Tigers won 3 games in a row this year?
No. Inconsistency is also in our DNA.
Warriors, 4 in a row. Unlikely heroes charging to a finals berth.
There's a fucking extra of something in the Tigers' DNA.
Okay, mailbag time. So let's open up the mailbag for the weekend. It's solid. Okay. Chris says, should the St. George Illawarra Dragons be shot into the sun?
Yes.
Yes. Glenn's always going to agree. I mean, he's been on crusading against the Dragons and their fan base.
Take the fucking fan base with him.
Yep. Yep. Toto says, with the finals almost certain to be in Queensland, does the ladder position really matter for the top 8? Yes, the top 4 get to double dip, but there is no home ground advantage. I feel like there's like a bubble. There's a bubble advantage, like we were speaking about when we were talking about the Eels and their problems at the moment. The Storm love the fucking bubble, and they've been extremely successful in Queensland. Like it's like 25 or so games in a row they've won up in Queensland. Manly love the bubble, and they go all right in Queensland as well. I'm sure there are some teams that, you know, love it less, but Eels being the number one example. But I feel like the Storm are the closest team to having something like home ground advantage in the finals, even if played out of Queensland.
Yeah, I think with the disparity in quality between, as we've spoken about a number of times, between those top few sides and the rest.
Yeah.
I think those top sides, you could play them on a fucking goat track with no one around, and they're still going to do what they do. So,
Lando said, "Here's my question: I'm looking at the Dragons team for Saturday. Is Hook on drugs? Does Smooth Corey have photos of him fucking a goat? Is Moose McGuire the goat in question? If they made a Tales of Tiger Town style documentary, would it look like satire? The bizarre thing about this season is that we sat in the 8 for most of it. How the fuck am I to reconcile what seems to be an actual improvement over the last couple of seasons with the clusterfuck this season has been as a whole? From losing our captain and best player to the Sharks and knee injury, to the talk about signing Folau to Barbecue Gate, why does this thing I love continue to hurt me?" I've got no answers for you.
That's an interesting point that, you know, with everything, you know, that has gone on at the Dragons off the field especially, but that there could be a case made that this has been an improvement on previous years and they've spent a large portion of the season in the 8.
Having said that, though, I mean, if the Warriors and Tigers can jag wins this week and the Dragons lose it like as we expect them to, I mean, they'll finish the round in 13th.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's one thing, to spend the season in the 8.
7 to 13 type positioning on the ladder.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, serves you right for being a Dragons fan.
Graham says, with Ivan Cleary moving Crichton around this late in the season, is he shitting the bed again? As a Panthers fan, it feels like the May to centre debacle all over again.
No, I don't think he's shitting the bed because I think he, and again, I don't think he shat the bed last year. I think he was worried. You know, it's still unclear how much people knew about the Naden situation on grand final day. You know, he may have had a premonition or an actual fucking understanding of what had gone on there. But I think that our weak point in that team is handling. And I think that, you know, to have the strengths we have across the park, you know, you can't be world class everywhere. And so I think fullback and the one winger spot is a concern, you know, considering if Biz is in the team. But I'm not sure it's him shitting the bed. I just think he's trying to move a couple of pieces and see what develops.
Yep. I don't think he's the weak part, you know, overall. Ben said Cam Smith being the ambassador for King's camping gear, going from a sewer of an NRL club to the Aldi version of camping gear. Well, I don't own any Adventure Kings products. I'm not happy to say it or unhappy to say it.
I thought Kings was the... Everyone seems to have Kings on all their tricked out fucking full drives, certainly Toowoomba.
Oh, it's because, yeah, I mean, because you can get the, you know, like the $100 awning off the roof rack.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's the most affordable awning in the game.
Yeah.
Is it shit though?
I think it's for $100, I think it's fine. I mean, I know people that buy every four wheel drive fucking gadget under the sun and attachment under the sun, and they'll throw Adventure Kings awnings on their on their trucks. So I guess they're okay. I mean, would I buy a Jenny from them? Probably not.
What's a Jenny?
Generator.
Fuck, camping people are weird. Just say generator.
You say Jenny and it's like fucking like half the syllables, mate. You fucking aristocrat with your fucking powered sights and shit.
Yeah, they're called hotels.
Hotels, exactly. Exactly.
This cunt saying this shit like he doesn't go down to fucking camp.
He's got the
same places that I've been.
Look at that 50-level powered sight. Oh. Bet they've got one of those fancy water take the shit away rooms.
saying that like he hasn't been down to fucking Gordon Country more than I have.
No, fucking oath, man. I take my kid out there and teach him some hardships.
Shitting down a fucking long drop.
That's it. Yeah. See, this is fun. See this rope swing on this tree that looks like it was tied in 1975? It's fun. Fearing for your fucking life is fun.
Shane said, as a Warriors fan, I don't get all the hype for SJ coming back. He's great in contract years, but apart from that, he's under-delivered pretty constantly across his whole career. Am I missing something?
Nope.
No, I don't think so.
No.
And I mean, this year was a contract year. This year was a contract year too, and he didn't do a lot. To be honest,
more than any other sport, rugby league falls victim to attributing parts of success to individual players, right? And it's fucking dumb. Do you see the reports that one of the reasons that Souths didn't make a play to keep Reynolds was because Cody Walker is up for renewal, and he's going to need a massive bump. You know, because he's not the sort of guy to say, oh, look, I know I'm on a contract, but I want more money right now. So pay me or I'm leaving. But he's got a payday coming to him. And anyone that knows anything about the game or has watched anything to do with the game understands that Cody Walker is only able to be Cody Walker because Adam Reynolds is in that team. You know, so... So, yes, Cody Walker on his current form is worth much more money. But that current form is due to a large part to Adam Reynolds. You know, so, look, I don't want to say that SJ himself is not worth anything. You know, obviously, almost as injury prone as Adam Reynolds. But... He's probably only a disappointment because he's going back to a team that doesn't have a solid partner for him. You know, we've spoken about it so many fucking times. You need the creative, running, you know, excitement machine half, and you also need the patient, stoic game manager with the excellent kicking game. He's just never had the opportunity to play with his version of Adam Reynolds. And I think given what he could do, you know, before he started snapping everything every time he ran, can you imagine him next to a Reynolds-esque player or a Cleary? He would have been fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Like Cody Walker would have come along and been he's the next Sean Johnson. You know? But, you know, suck my dick from the back, Warriors. You've done it now. You get what you get, and you don't get upset.
Remember when he left the Warriors initially, and we were like, "Oh, great, finally!"
Yeah,
he gets a chance to show, you know, what he's truly about now in a team that's, you know, not going to be a fucking shambles like the Warriors traditionally are.
If you remember, our thing was always, you know, imagine if he'd played under a Bellamy or a Bennett.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but what did he get? You got fucking
John Morris.
Morris and Hannah.
Sacked and then Hannah.
Close.
How far off were we? Fucking oracles we are.
Yeah. Simon said, Warriors sucks balls here. Warriors should get all home games in New Zealand next season and or their salary sombreros should be 15% higher to make up for the great sacrifice made in order to keep the league alive. And finally, we will see that with RTS gone and three straight wins that no check is life. Cheers. No. No, 100 times no.
That's it.
Thank you for your sacrifices. But
Those ideas suck balls,
and every team this year,
every school has that weird kid that lives too far away,
like in Christchurch.
Well, no, like, you know, if every school's got, like, you know, the kids might live, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes away, and then there's one kid that has to come an hour.
Yep,
that's news. That's the Warriors, right? Why are we doing fucking exams at that kid's house? Fuck off. Exams are at school. Shut your fucking mouth.
Gabe said there's two possibilities. One, Tigers have kept Umbai handcuffed talent-wise, and being set free at the Dragons next year will unleash the raw premiership-winning talent the Dragons have needed. Or two, I spent 2022 making connections between Mars Bars and Umbai. Umbars?
Mbai's the noise that you're going to make just right as the colour drains out of you because you realise that you tighten the belt too tight.
Yeah.
Ouch.
And you see his reasons for, you know, leaving were like, look, I'm a burden on Madge at the moment. I want him to be able to coach the side without the burden of my contract that was negotiated prior to his arrival. That's a very noble way of saying that I'm overpaid trash.
Yeah. Yep.
But, you know, there are players who cash that check.
I don't have an issue with Mbai. I think he's actually a genuinely good dude. And look, he's copped a lot of heat for being on big money, but I don't understand what he was supposed to do about that.
Yeah.
Was he supposed to give 200K a year back to the club? God, I don't understand.
But again, it's that Tigers thing. It's the James Tamau effect.
Yeah.
Mbai is a fantastic first grader within certain parameters, and those are probably as a 14.
Because he didn't really have a position at the Dogs either.
No.
You know, he was in the halves. It was him and Reynolds.
But he played a lot of one as well at the Dogs.
Yeah, because you had Hodkinson there as well at the time.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah. I think he's just too versatile. I mean, he was never good enough to be the number one pick at a position necessarily, but he was good enough to play a lot of positions and therefore found a home in the first grade side.
True.
But, look, I don't know. I don't know if he's the answer for the Dragons either. You know, Hook's going down, you know, memory lane and blowing up all these old dudes when there seems to be like a lot of, you know, great young dudes there at the Dragons that he's letting go. Mm-hmm. Dan said, if you do an episode on Tiger Town, please don't brush over the beginning of episode 2 where the old boys are in the pub and Robbie is just blatantly white-handing Madge to them. I need to go and look back at that again because I don't recall that, but yeah. Oh, here we go. Michael, coming to you, Real Dad. Is Real Dad kidding himself? What is a bigger joke? Tales from Tiger Town or Tigers fans genuinely believing they're still in for a shot at finals? The greatest thing about the ninth meme is that Tigers fans still don't realise that coming ninth is a massive overachievement for Wests. The fact they've avoided the spoon should be cause for celebration, yet they all still cling on this delusion that they're a tier 3 team. Are all Tigers fans masochists? Hilarious.
This fucking guy.
Wow.
Talks a lot of shit.
Talks a lot of truth.
What a fucking surprise. You agree with him. Look, we've gone through Jay's genius on the NRL ladder predictor, and Tigers finished fucking seventh. I don't know what you're talking about. If you want to argue with proper technology...
You want to argue with science itself.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, we are masochists. 100%. But that doesn't mean that we're no chance of making the finals. Yes, does it look like increasingly, week on week, that we're gearing up to finish ninth again? Yes, yes, it looks exactly like that. But fucking telling me that I'm wrong for believing and knowing, based on the science of the ladder predictor, that we can make the finals, you, sir, need to have a fucking look at yourself.
Jesus Christ. It sounds,
Bruce.
When you say that word, it sounds like when Frank Winterstein's wife says science. Oh.
Bruce says, I'm not sure if it was discussed in July, but there was an audio clip of Ricky post-match dressing sheds rage doing the rounds of WhatsApp. Did you hear it? Was it legit this year? And discuss if such rants can work or means he is cooked as a coach. I remember hearing a Ricky rant, but I don't think it was in July. Wasn't it like, was it last year or? I remember one going around, and I don't know if it's the same one. I didn't hear a new one in July this year. So fucking hit, if you got it, send it over. Chuck it in the Facebook group, whatever. I am keen. Email it to us, whatever. But yeah, I remember hearing one, but I feel like it was a while ago. Like it was like easily last year.
If we've learned anything from Tiger Town, it's that expletive-laden rants from a coach can definitely, most certainly, get the same performance out of the players that led you to give them an expletive-laden rant.
Aaron says, seriously, how soft is Andrew Fifita? Don't get me wrong, I know how he feels. Just last week we had a Mr. Whippy ice cream van drive down our street for the first time in about 15 years. I had to run down the street to stop him. I too was doubled over. I couldn't breathe. I even had a little spew. Lucky for me, I was only about 30 metres from my front door. Did I whinge? No. Did I call an ambulance? No. When I eventually made it home, I just sat down and ate my double cone chocolate dipped in sprinkles ice cream like a man. He's going to use being unfit as an excuse for medical retirement, so he still gets paid for doing nothing. He can then enjoy his true loves of visiting his friends in prison and abusing junior grade referees.
Oh, wow.
It's that sort of shit that, that you know, we expect from past winners of the MVC Most Valuable Contributor Award.
Indeed.
And finally, Dan says, is the Knights' fleeting, mediocre, very short-term success over now that we are losing all our players? Mm. Well, look, even in air quotes, I am loath to classify what the Knights have done over the last couple of seasons as success. I mean, that it's success to a fan base that's been absolutely cucked by consecutive spoons. Sure. Is it better than spoons? Yeah, definitely.
I'm going to talk seriously to the Knights fans for a second. I need you all to think back about the attitude you had when you were getting pummeled every week. And it was the last time that you got legitimate credit on this show, because we did nothing but sing your fucking praises for how you turned up en masse every week, you know, essentially knowing the outcome of the games, but still fucking turned up and cheered every fucking, you know, Ross Dog, you know, old man try and every success that club had. Go a bit easy on your team this year. You haven't had any fucking continuity. You've had massive injuries to your entire fucking spine at varying stages, for the most part, all together. You've got, you know, some guys who have picked up the representative torch in your forward pack. You know, yeah, you don't have, you know, you're not a contender this year, but you're much fucking closer than you have been. So, eyes up.
Knights fans are just Illawarra fans that drove up the M1 with their surfboards on their fucking roof racks in search of a better life and never actually found it. They deserve everything they fucking get.
And on that note, that's full time for episode 426. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, you can interact with us in many ways. Go to thisweekinleague.com/links and you'll get links to our social media communities and much more. If you'd like to support the show, consider joining our Patreon, patreon.com/TwillNation. You can also drop us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Just tell a friend. I haven't dipped into the tipping for a couple of weeks now, so I thought I would today. And we have a logjam three-way tie at the top with Sunback, Barrett's Belmore, and Chev Mate. And then we go back to make up the minor placings with Drew's Drop Kicks. How about the tip? Gleeso 78, Ben Diggity, Warmess, and Mitch Rich, Wayne S. So still going strong. And I have not even fucking logged into the site. The reason why you haven't heard about tips the last couple of weeks is because I just forgot to even log into the site. So I haven't entered tips in for weeks either. But it's one way to celebrate, like, you know, creamy mediocrity. Is don't put your tips in. You get awarded the away teams, and you usually get about half the games right. So there are people that were actually trying that were getting less at times. That's it for this episode. Do you fellas have anything else that you would like to add before we sign off for the week?
No, I think we've said enough, Nathan.
Well, that's remarkably placid of you.
Give Lenny? Another shout out to, you know, everyone living in lockdown.
Yes.
That's fucking rough. Yeah,
Victoria back down is strict, and even our Kiwi fellas.
That's it.
Copping it as of today.
There's nothing we're going to say or do to make it all better. And anything we say to you from our position of fucking, oh my God, we have to wear masks outside, is condescending as fuck. But keep at it. You know, find your why, be it to stay tough for your family or you know, for yourself or for friends or whatever it is. But keep going. The end's not far away.
Did you watch Tiger Town this week?
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't.
We're about to record our game companion for Tiger Town, and let me just say that there were some things that you said just then that were verbatim what Madge said at halftime of a game to the Tigers. I'm not fucking lying either.
Really?
Yeah, that whole find your why thing, it was, I don't remember which game it was, but they were leading at halftime. It might have been the Panthers game, actually.
Oh, fucking hell.
And he's like, he encouraged them to get into little groups and to find their why. They would go out for the next 40 minutes and replicate what they did in the first 40 minutes.
Yeah,
and
wow.
Yeah, so I just find that's very interesting. You got a little bit of magic in you.
Hasn't he what?
Doesn't everyone.
Everyone should have. Man's a fucking god.
Well, I don't know if he's a god, but he seems like a good guy that's saddled with a tough fucking job. and one of these guys that has KPIs attached to his job that's reliant on the performance of just cunts. And ultimately, he'll lose his job, and it will be their fault. On that note, we'll talk to you guys on Sunday.
Later.
See ya.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.